Where's Newt Rockne when you need him?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The economy and the stock markets seem to need a rousing halftime speech. The Dow had its worst first half of the year since 1970. In Europe, stocks are getting mauled by a bear market. The price of oil has climbed more than 40% since New Year's Day. I won't go on. But here we are on July 1st, the third quarter just getting underway, and it's more of the same. So far, the Dow is down another 85 points, almost a percent, to 11,261. The NASDAQ down a percent, 22 points. The S&P 500 down 10. The markets in Europe have lost another 2% this morning. In Asia, the markets closed a fraction lower. Oil is above $142 a barrel. One reason for that is a new report out this morning about the future of oil. Here's Amy Scott.
The International Energy Agency says oil prices have doubled in the last year because demand is growing and supplies are tight. In a report out today, the agency says there's little evidence that speculation is to blame. Tom Closa is chief analyst with the Oil Price Information Service. He says there's no question fundamentals have pushed prices up, but he likens the role of speculators to performance-enhancing drugs.
It's like hitting 70 home runs. Maybe fundamental performance and just a sharp eye for a pitch will take you to 50. But maybe there's a little bit of performance enhancing that takes you that next 20 home runs.
U.S. lawmakers want the market to clean up. Members of Congress have proposed at least 9 bills targeting speculators. A hedge fund manager told a House panel last week that curbing speculation could cut the price of oil in half within a matter of weeks. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is in Europe this week, and a big topic will be interest rates. It appears the European Central Bank will raise its key interest rate on Thursday. That cannot sit well with Mr. Paulson. We turn now to our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, is Paulson trying to convince the ECB to change its mind?
Well, I don't know whether he's going to try and persuade them not to. He will certainly point out the obvious paradox here. The ECB is worried about inflation. One of the key components of that upward push in inflation is the ever-rising price of oil. But if the ECB puts up euro interest rates, that may put downward pressure on the dollar, which would push up the price of oil.
Yeah, it's a tough situation.
It is.
Well, what is the European Central Bank's argument?
The European Central Bank, when it spoke about this last month, indicated that it is very concerned about inflation, not just from oil, but also rising food prices. And really, the European Central Bank has become kind of boxed in here. It's a matter of credibility now. This is a bank that is still only 10 years old. It has to always convince the markets that it is serious. It would be very damaging to the ECB's image if it caved into political pressure, certainly from a U.S. Finance chief.
And finally, Stephen, what does this portend for the Federal Reserve? If the ECB does raise its interest rate, what kind of position does that put the Fed in, or does it not matter?
Well, it certainly does matter, and it makes life a lot more difficult for the Fed. It's quite clear that the Fed would like the option of being able to lower U.S. interest rates even further. But if you've got rising eurozone interest rates, that becomes increasingly difficult because it means it could tip the dollar into free fall. And certainly the Fed doesn't want to see that.
All right, Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Tuesday, July 1st on Marketplace.org. Oil companies and countries have no single bigger customer than the U.S. military. And starting today, the military's bill is going to be a lot higher than it was the first 6 months of the year. Jeremy Hobson has more from Washington.
A Pentagon spokesman says the cost hike will mean an extra $400 million a month, and the commanders will have to, quote, reprioritize daily support activities. Michael Clare is a professor at Hampshire College who's written extensively on the military's use of oil.
The military is coming late to an appreciation of their vulnerability to reliance on petroleum.
Just think of all the planes, ships, Humvees, and helicopters. So what's likely to be sacrificed to make up for soaring costs?
Some of the new generation of weapons that they would like. Instead of high hundreds, they're going to get few hundreds.
Military experts say cutting back on fuel, personnel, and ammunition is unlikely during wartime. There are moves to reduce military dependence on oil, like mobile solar panels to power generators in Iraq, and nuclear energy to fuel Navy warships. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
The soft economy has meant hard times for retailers. They're trying everything to get customers through the door. Now they're turning up the heat on niche marketing. Nancy Marshall-Genzer explains.
Some retailers are looking to yoga for inspiration. JCPenney, Victoria's Secret, and J. Crew have started selling yoga outfits. They're trying to attract yoga addicts who don't mind splurging in the name of tranquility. Retail analyst Howard Davidowitz.
Retailers are fighting for footsteps. One way to differentiate yourself is to have special products to focus on special categories.
Davidowitz says some retailers are specializing in certain brands. Macy's has an exclusive Martha Stewart houseware line. One Macy's ad features Stewart and stars like R&B singer Usher hawking their products.
This is my new fragrance. Apply it here, and your body heat will diffuse it naturally.
But MKM Partners analyst Patrick McKeever says discounters don't have to hire rock stars.
They don't have to try and be innovators. It's because there is that natural benefit that comes during tough times as consumers seek value.
Dollar stores may have the best niche of all, cheap stuff. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
In New York City, 4 out of 5 people get to work on public transit. Must be nice. But what about the fifth person? It seems gas prices have some people hopping on scooters. Andrea Mustaine reports.
On a sticky summer evening, rush hour traffic speeds down Broadway at 14th Street. Among the yellow taxis and buses, plenty of SUVs roar by. But some New Yorkers are trading in their gas guzzlers for a commute that sounds more like this.
Hi.
A scooter. Sales are up in New York. And since these dainty vehicles can get up to 70 miles per gallon, it's easy to see why.
90% of our customers are coming in this year exclusively because of the gas prices.
That's Jill Yu. She runs a scooter shop in Queens, along with her husband, James Yu. They say demand is way up from last year. Out in front of their tiny shop, James cuts open a giant cardboard box.
There she is!
The gleaming blue scooter nestled inside is already spoken for. A guy who got tired of shelling out $100 at the pump to fill his GMC Yukon bought this scooter for around $1,500. The Yus mostly sell Asian-made bikes, but Vespa, the Italian bike maker, is also having a good year. In the U.S., Vespa sales are up a record-breaking 106%. And one of the top-selling dealerships in the country is Vespa Soho, right here in Manhattan.
We've sold 14 or 15 in the last couple days.
Owner Zachary Shefflin says that's a lot, even for him. Shefflin says he hopes this means New York will start to look more like London or Rome, the streets buzzing with as many scooters as cars. But New York's Department of Transportation says not so fast. The department doesn't plan to make scooter parking or riding any easier. They'd rather you just took public transportation. But artist Tim Wilson says he got his scooter to avoid the subway, and it costs only $10 a week for gas. Wilson says it's not just the convenience and economics that make scooters great.
It's the best way to see the city.
He climbs on his pale yellow Vespa for the scenic ride back to Brooklyn.
How long does it take you to get home?
About 20 minutes.
Just 20 minutes. Yeah, rub it in, Tim. It takes me an hour on the subway.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
In New York, I'm Andrea Mustaine for Marketplace.
If you've been to a car showroom lately, did you hear the crickets? it's been awfully quiet. The latest car sales numbers come out today, and they're going to be bad. Analysts say June might have been the worst month in 16 years. It also could have been the month Toyota overtook GM in global sales. This morning, Chrysler said it was closing a St. Louis area minivan plant. Cell phone while driving bans take effect here in California today and in Washington State. Drivers have to use an earpiece. Wouldn't you know it, the people who make those things are starting to rake in the dough. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith tells us her situation.
I've resisted getting a cell phone earpiece because I think they make people look like those half-man, half-machine villains on Star Trek.
We are Borg. You will be assimilated.
Now, resistance is futile. If I hold my phone while driving, I could get hit with a $20 fine. Yesterday, a Radio Shack in Los Angeles was packed with people buying earpieces. Okay, so manager Mario Gonzalez says it's bringing a lot of people in.
Has it been good for business?
Definitely. Today is one of the busiest days in terms of customers asking for these products.
Retailers like Best Buy are building up inventory, and manufacturers like Plantronics are expanding product lines. Radio Shack VP Tom Schultz says they've been preparing for the law for a year.
I think there's going to be a lot of new customers that we'll get, and if we treat them special, they'll come back for other things.
And $43 later, I have been assimilated.
Hello? Hey, I'm in the car.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
If you can't afford to drive anymore, how about this? Dig around in the garage and get out that old banana seat bicycle. You know, the one with the sparkles on the seat. Mine was green. A guy in Virginia Beach saw one sitting in the corner of a bike shop. He bought it for $350. Turns out it's a rare 1963 Schwinn Stingray. Now he's getting offers for $100,000 for this bike. But he says he's not selling. He started collecting bikes because as a kid, his parents couldn't afford to buy him one. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.